steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Awesome God, I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for this afternoon. I'm thankful for the saints here in Lima. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we take a look at this portion of Scripture, that I would be able to communicate effectively. Father, that I would be able to communicate what this passage is really driving at. And there's just really appreciate your word, and I appreciate the way that you have communicated to us. I'm thankful for the encouragements to be steadfast, the encouragements to be diligent, and the fact that we can learn and grow in you. I'm thankful for the grace and the system of grace under which we live. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Very first thing, be diligent. It's interesting, these passages that the Scripture has exhorting us to be diligent. And the Scripture is clearly pulling for us. Here, Peter, in verse 17, you therefore, beloved, or called beloved, we're encouraged to be diligent. We're encouraged to be steadfast. Why does the Scripture give us these encouragements? Because God knows we need them. He knows we need them. It can be easy to grow weary. It can be easy to get tired. It can be easy to listen to the world and the things that the world says are important, to just tune out spiritually. And the Scripture is encouraging us here, encouraging his readers and us by extension. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. You know, everything about this place is trying to get us to value the things that are of physical importance, the things that are tangible, the things that you can see, the things that you can handle, the things that you can taste, the things that you can hear. The world, society is all pushing towards those tangible things. But we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth, and so there's an encouragement here to be diligent to be found by him in peace. Now, be diligent to be found in him in peace. That's not going to happen outside of our participation. It's not like, oh man, I was, you know, I got lucky today. I was found in him, right? It is directly dependent upon what we do. And the Lord has a system by which he is working together with us, and we're working together with him. It's the Lord's power, and it's our faith. It's the Lord doing the heavy lifting, but our bringing all of our effort. And that's one of the things that the Lord is consistent about, is he requires our participation. It's what he does, but he makes us to be a part of what he does. Our conversion is a good example of this. Okay, without Jesus, we're all lost and hopeless. All lost and hopeless. Okay? It's only through the perfect life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus all the way to the throne, it's only because of that that we're able to be reconciled to God. When Jesus says he is the way, he means it. There's only one, the way. Right? And so the only way for us to have a reconciled relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. And it's only through what Jesus has done as the great sacrifice and the great high priest, that we can now have a relationship with God. However, God is not going to give us a relationship with the Father against our will. And so he requires participation. We have to be united with Christ in the gospel. And that's what Romans chapter 6, particularly verses 1 through 11, are really getting at, is that we have to participate. We become united with him in Jesus' death, burial, resurrection through our immersions into Christ. A person who is believing, a person who is repentant, a person who has confessed Jesus as Lord is then united with Christ in immersion. And so it's all God's power. It's all because of what Jesus did. But if it's not for our participation, we don't have that power personally applied to us. It continues on in the Christian life. It's all God's power. But if we don't participate, we're not going to benefit from the power that he supplies. God does what we can't do. No amount of human effort can make who we are in the inside, our inner person, to look like the glorified Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Okay? But if we don't do our part, which is the renewal of our mind, the Holy Spirit is not going to do it without us. So again, it's the same principle applied all the way through, that it takes our participation and God's power. God's power plus our participation equals transformation. And so that's where encouragement is for us to be diligent. Be diligent so that we can be spotless and blameless. Okay? The Lord wants us to be spotless and blameless. I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. He can create a people who can be spotless and blameless. So think about in Revelation where the bride of Christ is talked about in her beauty and how she is dressed with the works of the saints and the beauty of the bride of Christ. And so why wouldn't the Lord create a people who could be spotless and blameless? Why wouldn't he create children who look like him? Isn't that what you would expect? Is that God would create children who look like him? In fact, the Lord's communicated how deadly sin really is. Why would he want that to be a part of our lives as his kids? I don't want things that to be a part of my kids' lives that are going to bring them pain, that are going to bring them destruction. Well, that's what sin does, right? Is sin brings all sorts of pain, all sorts of destruction. The Lord doesn't want us to continue to have to deal with that in our lives. He wants us to actually be able to overcome that and to be spotless and blameless. I got a question this week that I appreciated from a guy. He's doing a lot of really, really good thinking. And he was like, well, do you think that a Christian really can be sinless? And so, you know, I was like, I'm glad you asked. I was like, so what happens when a person is immersed into Jesus Christ? How much of their sin is taken away? He was like, well, all of it. So it's like, well, what would we call that? Sinless, right? Okay, I got you, he said. I said, and so when God looks at us as a brand new sopping wet Christian coming up out of that water, okay, he's like, you know, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He kills that old person in the waters of immersion, and he creates a new birth, a brand new creature in the waters of immersion, and he gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is, when God sees us now, who he sees is Jesus. And so that person is absolutely sinless. But the Lord loves us so much that he doesn't just see us as Jesus, that now his Spirit works together with us, that now we start to actually practice the very righteousness of Jesus. That now we get to participate in this system, that we get to invest in the system, and we're guaranteed the result because we're relying on his power. It's not based upon what I do, but it's based upon his power. And his power is guaranteed to work. And so, not only am I given the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but also I get to start to live like Jesus. And he's going to change me into his very image, which is sometimes in the scripture called practicing righteousness. And so, yeah, absolutely, the scriptures are clear. The Lord has created a system where we win. It would be weird if God created a system where we just lose less. Like he's God. Why would he do that? Right? Like we might create a system, you know, at work where the system was really, really bad, and we've made it a system that's a little bit better than the worst system. Right? But that's because we're limited. Right? God starts from the design in the very beginning, right? And he's like, I can create a system however I want. It would be really weird if his system for his kids, who he loves so much, is, well, you lose less than you used to. This doesn't make any sense, right? He actually wants us to overcome, to be those overcomers. And the scripture is clear throughout about that. Matthew 5:48, therefore you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But he's done this in such a way, and this is really what we're going to spend most of our time this afternoon talking about, is he's created the system by which we can learn to be able to win, not be judged in the places where our performance isn't measuring up yet, right? This is actually a system where we can learn and grow instead of being in judgment about the times where we may fall down. Okay, so let's go to one other one that we don't look at nearly as much, or at least maybe I don't look at it nearly as much. 1 Thessalonians 3, it says 1 through 3 on the board, but it's 11 through 13. I just forgot a couple of ones when I was doing this, apparently. I came across it in WASI, and I was like, it's not 1 through 3 that I want. Oh, 11 through 13. So 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. He's establishing our hearts without blame in holiness. Again, without blemish, spotless, blameless before him in love. He expects us to be holy through his power, and we have a clean conscience. We are blameless before him. Again, how valuable is a clean conscience? Again, people out there, there's no monetary value that you can put on a clean conscience, but he's doing this with our participation, with our investment. And his desire is for us to have this in peace. If we go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, our text this afternoon, 2 Peter 3, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, or the King of Peace. The Lord's desire is for us to have true peace. Peace starts with peace with God through Jesus and extends to peace with ourselves and others. People are looking for shortcuts to peace. People are selling peace all over, right? Some products better than others, but nobody can actually give you peace with God outside of Jesus Christ. And any sort of true peace has to start with peace with God. Because true peace has to do with a reconciled relationship. And reconciled relationship with the Father only comes through the Son. And so anything else is some sort of emotional salve for a cancer. Sin is a cancer. And you're not going to be able to hype yourself into true peace. It has to start with true reconciliation. Okay? Oftentimes we boil peace down to an emotional state. Okay? The emotional state is really the result. And a lot of times, even people who have peace with God, their emotional state is wrong because they're used to being in a wrong emotional state. And so what has to happen is that emotional state has to be retrained, okay, to reflect reality. But there's a lot of people that are hyping themselves into some sort of emotional state that's not based upon what the Word of God says. There's nothing real there. And so it's like trying to stay awake, and instead of getting sleep, you just like, oh, well, I'll do more Red Bull, right? It's like it's only going to work for so long. And so true reconciliation or true peace comes from reconciliation with the Father. And then we can start to have reconciliation with ourselves or with others. It is true, some people will not allow you to be at peace with them. If they're working in a different direction, they will only be at peace if you compromise in some way. We can't be at peace with the devil. To be at peace with him is to sacrifice who we are and what we believe. It's very difficult to be at peace with people who are bound and determined to manipulate you, right? Bound and determined to use you, bound and determined to, like, you can only have your part in that. And the scripture is aware of that. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. What's the Lord holding us responsible for? Our part of it. Our part of it. Okay. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. The Lord wants us to be able to be at peace with him, firstly, and then the result of that then is that we're at peace with ourselves and with peace at peace with others. We can only control our part of it. Back to our text there in 2 Peter chapter 3. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. How blessed are we to be a people that the Lord is patient with? He is patient as we learn and grow and wants us to succeed. We regarding the patience of our Lord as salvation. He's not in a rush. He's not in a hurry. Okay? He wants us to be able to get it, and he wants us to be able to grow because he loves us and because he cares about us, not because he's looking to fry us if our performance isn't what it's supposed to be today. Okay? And so the patience of our Lord is a blessing. Again, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is what? Patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The Lord's patient. The Lord, it's a true blessing to have the patience of the Lord. And you think about it, the Lord doesn't have to be patient about much. We have to be patient about a lot of things. First, you have to be patient with yourself because, you know, I don't know about you, but like in my mind's eye, you know, I can run up and down the basketball court and I'm making all of these great moves, right? And I'm hitting all these shots and I'm doing lockdown defense. And then I actually get on the basketball court and it looks like something else completely and entirely, right? I'm tripping over my own 2 feet and, you know, I'm missing layups and I'm bricking shots and, you know, all of those things that go together with being out of shape in 37, okay? So like that's what it actually looks like in reality. Right? And how many times does our mental picture of ourselves and our performance, they don't exactly match up? So what's required? Patience with ourselves. Do we ever have to be patient with anybody else? Do we ever have to be patient with our spouses? With our kids? Do we ever have to be patient with our boss? With our employees? We never have to be patient, right? Yeah, absolutely. It takes a tremendous amount of patience. But God commands the angels and they do it. God commands the universe and it does it. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And yet God is willing to be patient with you and I. Thanks, God. But he is. He's patient as we learn and grow, and he wants us to succeed. That's why there in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have God's patience, and his grace is the air that we breathe. It's the plane that we exist on. And so the next challenge is, who are we listening to? We could talk quite a bit here, and it's worth doing at some point, but Peter kind of gives a shout out to Paul, and we could kind of talk about how Peter is recognizing Paul's writings here as authoritative. He's recognizing them as scripture. We could talk a little bit about the apostles' doctrine and about how all that the apostles taught was New Testament, New Covenant doctrine, and how that doctrine is binding. Like, those things are all kind of worth talking about, and they would be lessons in and of themselves. But really, what I want to, for the sake of time, what I want to talk about is, like, who are we listening to? People like Peter and Paul, or are we listening to culture? We're listening to society. Because culture and society are the untaught and the unstable, and they distort these things for their own good. They distort them for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, their own motives, right? And we really have to decide who we're going to listen to. One of the fundamental things in life is, who are you listening to? Who are you paying attention to? And it's really important that we check our sources. And what are our sources' motives? And who is it that's giving Paul and Peter wisdom? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. So you know that it's good information. You know that it's coming from a good source. The untaught and the unstable distort the scripture, and they do it for their own purposes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. 2 Peter 2 has much to say about the motives of those who are untaught and unstable. We're not going to rehash that. We went through 2 Peter chapter 2 a few weeks ago. But remember, it is all to their own destruction. So who are we going to listen to? Let's listen to Peter. Let's listen to Paul. Let's be steadfast. This is an important reminder to continue to be steadfast. How are we going to do that? Again, it's one thing to just say, okay, start or stop doing something. It reminds me of that whole "I declare bankruptcy." Right? That's not how that works, okay? And so you can't just declare bankruptcy by saying, "I declare bankruptcy," right? You actually have to go through the process. Well, be steadfast. The scripture is going to give us this exhortation, number one, because we need it. Number two, that should help you to understand there's a reason why it's telling us to be diligent and to be steadfast, and that's because there are consequences if we don't, which that in and of itself really destroys Calvinism, right? There's a lot of things that if you're reading the scriptures, like, why would the scripture tell you to be diligent if you can't lose your salvation? Why would it tell you to be steadfast if you can't lose your salvation? None of that doesn't make sense. But it's telling you this because there are eternal consequences one way or the other. But here it's going to tell us how we can continue to be more steadfast is to grow and the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to help us to get to where we need to get to by growing in grace and in knowledge. And it's interesting here how the grace and knowledge are packaged together. We want to know because we want to be pleasing to the Lord. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the first hour. It switches us from the have to of the law to the want to of freedom in Christ Jesus. The question changes from "is this sinful" to "is this profitable?" And so we can grow in the grace and knowledge, and we want to know because we want to be pleasing to the Lord. We grow in His perfect environment of grace. He wants us to grow in our understanding of His great grace. Again, we're all coming from different environments. We're coming from different backgrounds. And the Lord wants us to know that, hey, we've got His grace to be able to grow in. It is the perfect environment for us to grow in. One of the things, I'm not a gardener, but one of the things that's really important if you want to have a good crop is to make sure that you have a good environment for growth for that crop. The Lord's grace is the perfect environment for all of us to be able to grow in. We also want His perfect knowledge. Grace and knowledge really do work together. Knowledge without grace puffs up. Knowledge makes arrogant is how some versions render that. But love edifies. That knowledge in and of itself, if it's not paired with grace, that knowledge is just going to puff an individual up, which doesn't help anybody. But a misunderstanding of grace without knowledge produces a lawlessness or produces a permissiveness where, well, I'm just, you know, let's use a biblical term. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? What's the biblical answer is, may it never be. And so knowledge and grace are connected in a package here so that we can grow in both. God has created a perfect system where he desires to grow in grace, and that's going to make us to want to grow in more knowledge. And the more that we really know and understand, that's going to help us to apply the system of grace. And so they go together in a package, and in a perfect package that produces growth within his people. The Lord knows how to raise kids. The Lord knows how to help us to take the next step to be spotless and blameless. And so the encouragement here, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. There is a day coming, right? There's a day coming, the day of eternity, as talked about there in 2 Peter chapter 3, where there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and we want to be ready for that new heavens and new earth. All right, appreciate your time and attention this afternoon. If you want to turn to song number 207, Lily of the Valley, 207, and be standing, we can sing this to close. 207, verses 1 and 3. Oops. 207, verses 1 and 3. I have found a friend in Jesus.